Meet Will and Tom, two seemingly ordinary men, cursed with a gift of vast knowledge that is forever expanding. Possessing incredible insight with unparalleled skills and expertise, let us join them as they embark on a journey to quench their thirst for the truth while answering the questions to life's most intriguing mysteries. Let us open our minds and ask, dude, could you imagine? Could you imagine? Could you imagine? We have all heard the saying, with great power comes great responsibility. But what is the greatest use of your power? That may all depend on the dilemma at hand. Let us use our powers to the best of our abilities as we save the day in a cosmic clash. Welcome back, everybody. This is Thomas Case.
This is William Stark.
William, we have an interesting one today.
Okay.
This one actually comes from an idea from a listener that posted this on our Discord, and that was from Chemicult.
All right.
And I really thought it was an interesting idea. But before we get into that, I think we should remind everyone that we still have the gift card giveaway going on. If everyone remembers, you can just go ahead and... you know, we just want to see you share our podcast with everyone that you know. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Go walking around with a big old, what do they call those, megaphone in your hand? And, you know
on
what I mean?
On a soapbox.
Yeah,
on a soapbox. Plaza.
Yeah, that's right. And I want to see thousands gathered in front of you as you talk about, dude, could you imagine?
Yes, but seriously, just share the show, whether it's on social media or in person. Somehow send us the proof. What is our email? dudecouldyouimagine@gmail.com.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you'll be entered to win a $100 cash money gift card.
Yeah, cash money. So I don't think it gets any better than that.
Indeed.
But yes, just send us the proof and we will enter you into the contest. So on to business. So this idea I think is really, I thought was very interesting.
Yeah, tell me more.
Basically what it is I have written out a list of 10 random superpowers.
Okay.
Right? And then I've written another list of 10 random dilemmas.
Okay.
And so we're going to randomly pick one from each category and see how we would use that superpower to solve that dilemma.
Okay. Well, you know, I got dice right here.
I was just about to ask you.
Okay,
yeah.
Yeah. Let me bust out my dice app. How many did you say? Was it 10
There's
of each?
10 of each, yeah.
10 of each. Okay. Ooh. Well, you know what? There's a D10 right there. And let me delete this D10. Okay, we got two D10s. And, how are we doing this? Are we both sharing the powers of dilemma? Or
so,
are we each taking a turn?
No, I say, you know, we'll both take our spin at whatever we pick. We'll see how many we can do in one episode here.
Okay,
I would
good.
Like for this to become, like, you know, something that's reoccurring every once in a while.
Okay.
And I would like to invite our listeners, if you think of a superpower or something that, you know, like a dilemma that you think is interesting, you know, you could go ahead and comment on it. And, you know, I could add that into the list because I'm not going to use this same list every time.
Right.
You know, sometimes there may be the same powers on the list. Sometimes they'll be different. Or same goes with the dilemmas.
Right.
So let's go with the first roll.
Oh, cool. Hold on. I can change the colors of this. All right. So we have a green die and a red die. The green die will be the power. The red die will be the dilemma.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
All right. Is this applying to both of us or just me?
No, this is going to be both of us.
Yeah. Okay. So the power is number 9.
Okay, teleportation.
Awesome, the best power. A great start. The dilemma is also number 9.
Oh, it's also number 9?
Yeah.
Okay. So a maniacal villain has planted bombs in random locations across New York City.
Okay, do I know where these locations are?
No, you don't know where they are.
Okay, do I know who this villain is?
I mean, I would have assumed that, like, you probably, you know, like with most villains,
yeah,
you bumped into them.
I'm familiar with Random Bomber Man.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, exactly. And I figure because, like, I want, you know, he's maniacal, almost like a Joker type, right?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Okay.
He just wants to see the world burn.
Sure.
Right.
Well, I mean, I got a great power equipped for getting to many things very quickly with teleportation, mm-hmm. but I need the locations.
Yeah, see, this is where it's tough.
Okay.
This is, I think, where this type of
what we're doing here shines, you know, because it's going to show you that, like, certain powers you may always think, like, oh, I'll have this power and I'll be, like, oh, unstoppable. Well,
right.
It's always not that case, you know what I mean?
No, like, no. And because he said this person's like the Joker, I take it teleporting to their location and threatening their life isn't going to get me the locations of the bombs.
Yeah, you know what? I think that would be kind of tough, you know, because they are maniacal. They just want to, you know, they're a maniac.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean? So, I can't do a good Joker impression. I was trying to think of So do I have like allies? Am I working with the police or
what? Yes,
like,
you do have allies.
Go ahead.
I was going to say you have a relationship with the police.
Okay. So, I mean, mm-hmm. the best you can do with this, unless you have some sort of detective skills, is you have to leave it to, you know, your intel people to find the locations. And every time you got a location, you go in, you get the bomb, and then you teleport it to someplace where there are no people.
Yeah, that is right. Okay.
Like, how many bombs are there? Do we know how many there are?
I'm on the same page. You know what? He does let on that there's five bombs.
There's five bombs somewhere through. Did you say New York City or just
New
the
York
city?
New York
Why
City.
Why is it always New York City?
I know, right? I wanted to pick the most cliche, like
New Orleans. either way, the teleportation doesn't grant any extra ability to to ascertain the location of. Yeah. Of these bombs. So for that, you have to rely on others. But once you know where these bombs are, there's a few powers better equipped for getting to, especially as long as you could teleport things with you.
Yeah. I think that if you have the power of teleportation, if you're holding something, you know,
What if the bomb's too big to hold?
Oh, that's true.
If that is the case, then you have to teleport in with you bomb diffusers.
Yeah. If it was, and then you'd have to think, how big is that bomb? Like that, if that's true and it's big enough, hopefully somebody somewhere would have seen something and been like, what is this? Like, or called someone.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
The bigger the bomb, I imagine, the bigger the giveaway. But my point is, like, if it's too big for you to teleport, then that means you have to teleport in people who can defuse it. So at that point, you're the transportation.
Yeah, that is true. And like, the only other, I'm on board with this. I that's the only way I could think of using this power to help with this dilemma. The only other thing is, like, you're right. I mean, you probably would have some type of past, you know, interaction with this villain, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that knowing that, maybe you might have certain hints, like, you know, he would probably want to do maximum damage with these bombs. So you're going to go to the most, like, you know, crowded,
locations.
Populated areas. Yeah. And so, like, I would probably also randomly teleport just to areas that I think might be there, but at the same time have a communication piece with me so that these people, like,
you're
in
gonna,
the law enforcement.
You're going to be a great asset to the reconnaissance, you know, on the ground, on the field. But, like, this is a power that is great for the scenario, but it requires an even greater power, the power of teamwork.
Yeah, exactly. No, that is true. If you don't have this teamwork here, I don't care, even if you do have this power. Like,
you might get one or two, but you're probably not going to get them all unless you're a super genius detective. But that's not the power you gave me.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
All right.
You know what? I feel like that was a good explanation. I can't give anything more to that because that's exactly how I would do that.
Let's do another one.
Yep.
Oh, I guess I have to roll, don't I?
Yeah, you
all right.
Have the app.
The power is numero uno.
Okay, flight.
Okay, and the dilemma is numero dos.
Well, okay.
Oh, no.
So you have the power of flight, and the dilemma is an alien race arrives and is attempting to conquer Earth.
Okay, and all you can do is fly. You don't have super strength.
Yeah, this is going to be a bad one. I don't even know if I'm going to say, like, you have the power of, like, supersonic flight either. You know what I mean?
I mean, sure, let's give the power at least that.
You have to fly. Yeah. I mean,
you said an alien race is invading Earth. This is on a grand scale.
Yeah, an alien race arrives and is attempting to conquer Earth.
Okay. Here's a question. You've given us a superpower, but are we a bona fide superhero? Is it, like, our job to do something about this? Or are we just a random citizen who can fly?
You know, William, with great power comes great responsibility.
All right, I'm just saying. So, like, let's say you are a licensed hero, like, you are licensed with the government, and, like, you work in tandem with law enforcement and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. you are probably going to be utilized in this case to get people of importance out of hot areas and to safety areas, like bases underground and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Like, look, you're not saving the world with this one power. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
So what are you probably going to do with it? You're probably going to save your loved ones as quick and anyone else you can, but you're probably going to be sent in with your supersonic flight to get people and get them the hell out of like really hot areas, like, you know, generals or people who are like highly in need to fight back against the aliens.
Yeah, so, that is true.
Yeah, you're going to be a rescue operation is what you are.
Yeah, and at the very, very most, the only thing I could see is because you are so small, you're not the size of a craft that could go up to this alien ship or whatever that came here, is you probably be that one guy. And this would be the last ditch effort, the Hail Mary.
Are you going to do the Independence Day?
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I'm back.
Yeah.
Going up into the...
except it's you, yourself.
And then for some reason, there's a stupid chain reaction that hits all the other ships.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't remember the plot of that movie that well.
No, but that's exactly what I would see, you know. But that's interesting that you said that with the, like, the... What did you got? Like the rescue operation thing?
Yeah.
Because, man, that did not even pop into my head. And you're right, though, because, like, don't get me wrong. I mean, flight is cool. It's awesome.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you're going up that type of a threat,
you're going up against an entire planetary
armed
force with high tech beyond anything on this planet. Like, yeah, like flight's not the power you wanted.
Yeah, flight's definitely
not. For this
not
dilemma. But what you can do is you can save some lives.
Yeah. And you know what? And that's all that you could do. You know what I mean? That's if that's all you could do, that's not a bad thing.
No,
you know?
Not at all. Are we ready for the next one?
Let's try another one.
All right, here we go. And they're rolling. We have power. Oh, wow. This keeps happening. Power 3.
Okay. Optic Blast.
Cyclops 3. And Dilemma 3.
Oh, okay. Oh, man. Okay. Now instead of aliens, their AI or machines are attempting to enslave mankind.
Okay. So let's go over these Optic Blasts. Is it like Cyclops level?
Yeah, they're Cyclops level. Very powerful.
I need a recap. Cyclops' power basically comes from his eyes are portals to another dimension, right?
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure his eyes are like the power isn't coming from inside him.
Oh, okay.
His eyes are portals to a dimension like of energy and plasma or some shit like that.
I know very little of Cyclops.
I could be wrong. You know very little of Cyclops. He's like one of the main X-Men.
I know, but like I've never really went into his character. Cyclops. Like I only like with his character, I only knew from the 1990s cartoon.
I mean that was in the cartoon. So.
Yeah. Was it really? Yes, it was. I don't remember that at all. I see like the other ones like Wolverine. I did get comic books of him, so I know a little bit more about him.
Okay, and I could be wrong. I'm looking up right now. So we have Cyclops. I'm going down the Google hole.
That would be very interesting.
Yada, blah, blah, blah. I just want to learn about his powers. I don't need to know about his second marriage or his merging with evil or his marital problems.
Or how
he became headmaster.
Or what tax bracket he's in.
Yeah.
Or how he had to evade the IRS.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, he's got a novel in here. He was the leader of Utopia, and then he was part of a second coming, and then he was in Avengers versus X-Men, and there were consequences for stupid actions, and then there was a mutant rebellion. Powers and abilities, I'm there.
Okay.
Cyclops possesses a mutant ability to project a powerful beam of concussive ruby-colored force from his eyes. Cyclops' eyes are no longer the complex organic jelly that utilizes the visual spectrum of light to see the world around it. Instead, they are interdimensional apertures between this universe and another, non-Einsteinian universe where physical laws as we know them do not pertain. This non-Einsteinian universe is filled with particles that resemble photons, yet they interact with this universe's particles by transferring kinetic energy into the form of gravitons. These particles generate directional concussive forces when they interact with the objects. So this is light coming from a different dimension.
Wow. Yeah. That is awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
So
this is going to be that on that level.
Okay, so I have interdimensional eye sockets.
Yes, you do. Yeah.
Okay.
Sir, can anybody hear me? Please, hear me. Can you hear me? Can anybody hear me? If you can hear me, this is Fritz Frivolous. I need your help. I'm stuck. Somehow stuck inside the minds of Will and Tom. I need to escape. Please, please support them and their podcast. You can go to patreon.com/dudecouldyouimagine or leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Distract them long enough for me to break free. You can even leave a like, comment, or subscribe. Again, don't forget about me, Fritz Frivolous.
I mean, you're going to be used as a frontlining weapon.
Yeah,
you're not going to single-handedly save the world, but like, I could see you like being put up front, like let's say you're at a base, mm-hmm. right, and the AI robots or the Ultrons are coming in, right?
Yeah.
It's Cyclops, get to the front. And, you know, mm-hmm. you're running, and you get there, and then you could just see overwhelming forces, and you dial up your visor yep. to full aperture opening, and then you just concussively annihilate over and over again yeah. until you burn out, and then they finally kill you, and then like you bought enough time to get the president out of the base.
I like how we randomly rolled on the last one and it's more like you're going to be in the background player
uh-huh.
but this time you are up front. You're probably
you're a damage dealer for sure.
You're definitely going to be the one that's going to be taking out most of whatever the machines or the AI. Well, If it is a machines or AIs that are going to try to enslave mankind, I do see them trying to use a multi-prong approach. Like, I do see one part is going to be like physical. They're going to try to like, you know, take over things with weapons, whatever they may be. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I also think they may try to slip in the back and like do things in like through the internet, right? Or through other
right.
like, things.
Yeah,
that are connected.
I mean, yeah, that's beyond.
You're not going to be a part on of. That part. No, yeah, no, you're going to be the frontline man. You're right.
Yeah, but the thing is, you're only one person, so like you're only so useful. You're a really valuable weapon. You're a bomb. You're a really powerful weapon. You're able to hit in very particular areas, but you can't be everywhere at once. So, like,
they're probably going to send you to the most vital parts of the machine.
But at the same time, if you're that yeah. valuable, they got to watch for your safety. So you're probably going to get extracted out of places.
Yeah, you're going to be very well protected. Yeah, they're not just going to like let you out in the open.
Right. Right.
But you know, one thing that I just thought about in my head, because you said you are one person, and I don't know if they've ever done this with Cyclops's optic blasts. Have they ever used some kind of a reflective surface to like to reflect his beams off of? And if so, if you had a shape of like some type of a, I don't know, I'm just gonna say like a crystal or something mm-hmm. in a certain shape, and like he were to optic blast that, and maybe because of like the prism it creates, can it spread his beams into multiple beams, maybe?
I mean, it's been done, but you do got to remember that, like, the beams aren't actually light. Once they come into this universe, they stop being light.
Oh, okay.
And, like, I forget, there's something about the particular red of his glasses that causes them to not escape into this dimension. It bounces them back to where they came from.
Oh,
but once they start interacting with stuff in our world, they become gravitons, basically.
Man, that is so weird. Yeah, I'm glad I found that out today, though. I was years old when I found that out.
Yeah, it's not an actual laser. It's like a light punch.
That's cool, though.
Okay, so, I mean, I think that's the best you're going to do as a single, you know, Cyclops. You know?
Yeah.
Should I roll again?
I think we should roll again.
Okay, let's do it.
Let me guess, it's going to be the same two numbers again.
It's not. Okay. The power is number 5.
Oh, okay. Mind control.
Okay. The dilemma is number 6.
Oh, this might be very interesting, depending on how we can use mind control with demons from the underworld invading our world.
Holy shit. I don't know if mind controlling demons is a good idea.
I wonder, that's what I was going to say. Could you even mind control a demon?
I don't know. I mean, spoiler. Oh, should we get into spoilers for Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness?
Oh, if they haven't seen that yet, come on,
guys. I mean,
guys.
It came out not that long ago.
I don't know. Can't, like,
Well, anyways, I would imagine it would be very dangerous to try and mind control demons, because, like, what if demons are oftentimes associated with possession, and if you're opening your mind to these demons, what if they're getting into you? And like, then if you are, like, an Xavier-level powerful telepath mm-hmm. and demons possess you, and now they have your telepathic powers, like, you would be a weapon of mass destruction to all mankind.
Yeah, you would. That would
so
be very bad,
very
man.
Badly.
This could be
yeah.
really bad. And that's if they can do that.
That's if they could do that, yeah.
The one way I was hoping about using mind control would be, again, the thing you said about possession mm-hmm. was like, well, what if you already, like, let's say they send the military to go and combat these demons, right?
Uh-huh.
Now,
so it's Doom. This is Doom. This is
yeah,
what
yeah, yeah,
game
exactly.
Doom.
This is Doom.
Yeah.
And you don't want your soldiers to become possessed. So like I would mind control them first. Now, if I'm mind controlling someone else and then this demon is trying to possess that person, can it piggyback to me? You know what I mean? Like,
I think that's dangerous too. I think, okay, so I think because of the nature of this demonic possession horde, your best use as Professor Xavier is to put on Cerebral, which exists in this world because I said it does right now. And when military forces go into combat with these demons, you are probably focused on putting mental shields over all the soldiers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Them to prevent them from – but you're not – you aren't possessing them.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Because I do feel like that could create like a channel to you. Instead, you're creating shields, right?
Yeah, so you're just shielding. Yeah. You're not controlling. They still
and
have
you're
their
from mind. A remote location and hopefully under a lot of guards. And I think – I mean that could – if these demons are not just assaulting but mass possessing, kind of like there was an anime called Devilman Crybaby. It's on Netflix. It's a fucked up anime.
Uh-huh.
It's a fucked up anime. But anyways,
Devilman Crybaby?
Yes. And demons are kind of doing this. Spoilers for Devilman Crybaby. It's a brutal anime.
The title just sounds...
I think it's called that because the main character, he cries a lot.
Okay.
But for good reason. Yeah, anyways, okay. In this world, like the demons and their existence is realized and people are hunting them and fighting them. But not only can the demons do like massive damage and attack, but they can possess people.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and they do. And it's disastrous like for man. This anime, by the way, does not have a happy ending. It has the worst ending possible, which is the end of the world. Yeah. Anyways, having Xavier in this situation would be probably the one thing that saves humanity if we're talking about a Devilman Crybaby situation
here. Yeah, and you are correct, though. That's a scary thought if these demons do find out that Xavier exists and that's what he's doing, and then they turn all their forces to try
to possess
him. They probably will. That's
And you're going to have to keep him safe. Yeah. But I mean, I think him and other telepaths are probably your best bet, you know, warding off the demonic possessions.
Yeah, yeah.
Woo, that's a scary one.
I know. I say let's do one more.
All right, one more. Yeah. Let's go. All right, rolling the dice. We got power number. Oh, I feel like we did three already. I'll re-roll.
We did three. Yeah.
Okay. Power number five. Did we do five already?
We just did five.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Power number eight.
Okay. Superhuman healing. So okay. Like a Wolverine. Like, you know.
Oh, self-healing. You're not healing other people.
No. You're
okay.
Self-healing.
Yeah. Okay. And
But that's interesting because I didn't put the word self in there.
No, you didn't.
How would you like to have this power?
Whatever
used?
You want, man. It's all good. We could save the other one for another time.
You know what? You can heal others too. Let's say that. Let's do that because then we can save the self-healing for another time.
Sure. Dilemma number one.
I don't care how much you can heal. What is this? An asteroid is headed towards Earth.
Okay. All right. So you aren't going to be involved in the stopping of this asteroid.
No.
You are going to be kept safe for after this asteroid hits.
Yeah.
And then, you know, everyone's going to do everything in their power to mitigate the damage of this asteroid, whatever that damage ends up being. If you survive, your job is to go out there and start saving as many lives as you can. Start mass healing whoever's fucking out there and still making it.
That one is like, I don't want to – lost cause is not the correct term here. Like,
no,
it's
that's
not,
a lost,
it's not
cause.
Lost cause.
That's a lost cause.
I guess – yeah, because like you're technically not able to stop this with this power.
You're
going to be
you
the
are
aftermath.
There for the aftermath,
yeah,
and that is
it.
All. Yeah.
Man, that's kind of – I mean
– it is what it is. I mean
– if you had that power though, like I wonder how – I guess I would still – I don't know. A part of me, I guess I would be conflicted that I couldn't do anything. Like, I have this power, but I can't do anything to prevent all these other people from dying. But afterwards, yes, if you're kind of injured and not dead, I can heal you, which I mean, I guess, you know, it's good.
I mean,
but
I don't
like,
know. I just, obviously, if you're this person with this power and then, you know, later on in your life, this asteroid thing kind of happens, I don't know if you necessarily would make the connection of like, you know, oh, I have this power and I can't do anything about it. It's like there's a fucking asteroid coming. Like, why would your self-healing power, like, I don't know. Like, it just doesn't you would probably just feel as helpless and as despairing as your any random citizen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, much like a doctor, you would just want to use your abilities to help as many people as you can in the aftermath.
Yeah, that
you probably wouldn't be thinking of like, how can I stop this? Because you're healing man. That's who you are. You're not you're not fighting man. You're not destroying man. You are healing man.
Yeah,
that so is true. You are there for the heals.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's you know, I know someone with, like, if you had that power, I know that it would suck that you're just going to have to wait for it to happen.
Yeah. Because
there's nothing really that you could do.
But at least there's something you can do afterwards.
Afterwards, like,
most people can't even say that necessarily. Not in the same level you can as healing man.
Yeah. You know what? If any of the listeners had their thoughts on what we chose to do with the powers we got for the dilemmas that were at hand, let us know if you agreed or if you have an idea of your own. We would definitely love to hear that. And don't forget, if you want to submit some powers or dilemmas, I'll gladly replace them with the ones we used today on this list. So the next time we do a cosmic clash, it'll be a little different. But dude, could you imagine? I open my mind's eye and peer into the dimensions, looking for those who will speak or give noticeable mention, whether they be new or with us all along. Let me hear all the messages from beyond. And welcome to Messages from Beyond. William, we got an interesting email.
Okay.
This one's from a listener, I believe.
Can I pause you for a second? We got to work on how you describe upcoming things. You use two words. You say fun and you say interesting. You never say anything else. I'm just putting it out there.
Okay, so
I'm gonna buy you a dictionary.
Yeah, we have a
riveting.
We have a riveting. Yeah,
there we go. Exhilarating.
An exhilarating and riveting email.
Unprecedented.
Yeah, from one of our listeners, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this name correctly. Amadou Diop. I believe that's how you pronounce that.
I mean,
Amadou
or
so. Amadou.
I have to pull up the email. I can't. I think you gave it as good a shot as you're going to get.
Yeah.
So you know what? Go ahead and correct us in the comments if we got it wrong so that we can correct ourselves later. But I think you did the best you could.
Yeah. And so it was actually a really I was going to say really interesting email.
I bet you were. Exactly what you were going to say.
It was actually an email that I enjoyed reading.
There we go.
From the information that he gave us.
Uh-huh.
And I'll read it right now. It's titled The Bard. And he says, "Hello, Will and Tom. I was listening to episode 29 about Dungeon and Dragon. And Tom said that I cannot imagine a bard going on an adventure or like a fight with his guitar. Actually, in my culture, there is what we call a griot or griot, G-R-I-O-T.
I think it's a griot because griot. It doesn't have the E.
Which is practically a dude with the task of singing or chanting chanting louange or telling epic tale, L-O-U-A-N-G-E.
I think that might be a typo, but I'm not sure.
But basically like singing or chanting and telling epic tales or bravery or even playing the role of the lore keeper to a noble or king. Each noble family had its own griot family. The bond is forged over many generations. A griot and his noble friend have known each other since young, probably at birth, and their fathers also. The important part is that whenever a king or noble was going to battle his griot, or was going into battle, his griot would be by his side, singing or chanting to remember the prowess of his ancestors in battle, or telling him the epic doing of ancestors, and this was in order to boost his courage. And even if he knows a shameful tale of his foes, he will also tell it in order to throw shame on them, on him."
Damn.
I know, right?
Can you imagine you're going to fight and then this random dude off to the left starts talking about all the bad shit you and your dad did?
Yeah, I know. Right? I'll be like, oh my God. Playing D&D, when I see the buff and debuff that a bard can do in a combat, it just reminds me of the griot.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's fucking cool. I never heard of that. And thank you for sharing. That's freaking awesome.
They go by Blue Moon 07, and it says from Paris.
Okay.
I think that's really cool.
It is.
Not just that he's from Paris, they're from Paris, but from the information they gave us, too. I never knew any of that,
and
it does kind of change my mind now about the...
The D&D bard?
Yeah, the D&D bard. Like, I guess I could see that would be very distracting in battle.
Yeah. Also, I mean, I think there's a reason that a lot of, in ancient warfare, you see there's a lot of... I forget what you call them, but there are musicians that march along the armies, you know, playing drums or whatever those. To keep rhythm and to inspire and all that other stuff. I don't think they did that without reason. So there must be some sort of inspiratory effect.
Yeah. And by distracting, I meant distracting for the enemy, not for thyself. You know? Because that would be funny to see, you know, this bard, like, knowing who they're fighting and then he's talking shit.
Yeah, basically he's just like, at them. Never were good with a sword.
Yeah, I know. Your sword work is a piece of shit. Like the other guy's probably like, what the shut up, man. And then you know the guy just cuts his head off.
Job done.
But dude, could you imagine?
The podcast you have just heard are the imaginings from the highly evolved minds of the extra dimensional beings Will and Tom. It has been translated into a format more easily understood by the human mind. Interpret it as you will. Should you find yourself seeking more answers to life's most intriguing mysteries, you can show your support by becoming a Patreon member at patreon.com/dudecouldyouimagine. You can also leave an Apple Podcasts review. You can subscribe to us on Instagram at @dude_couldyouimagine, on Twitter at @DCYImagine, and on our YouTube channel, where you can leave a like and a comment. We can also be reached through our email, DudeCouldYouImagine@gmail.com. We leave you now so that you may gather your thoughts until we meet again to ponder the meaning of the cosmos and ask, dude, could you imagine? Could you imagine? Could you imagine?
Oh, this might be very interesting, depending on how we can use mind control with demons from the underworld invading our world.
Holy shit. I don't know if mind controlling demons is a good idea.